Broadcasting life and truth around the world. You're listening to an encore edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio. We have a special broadcast on tap. Has to do with the resource available for those who support the ministry. It's called The Week That Changed the World by Dr. Paul Meyer. You can find The Week That Changed the World on the web, equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters, CRI. This week, the week that changed the world, is a week in which Jesus Christ suffered fatal torment. It is a week in which he was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. It is a week in which we know that he was going to appear and give many convincing proofs that he had risen from the dead. In fact, it was a week that resulted in an absolutely transformed world. This is not called the week that changed the world in the sense of just one epic week, but this is called the week that changed the world in the sense that this is the quintessential week in all of human history. To talk about that, Dr. Paul Meyer, he is a professor of ancient history. He has written some of the most exquisite books. I love his two novels, in particularly Pontius Pilate and the Flames of Rome, as well as, of course, have to mention A Skeleton, God's Closet, which is a theological thriller. He's written many nonfiction works, including Josephus, The Essential Works, Eusebius, The Church History, a book on the first Christian historian. He's also penned a lot of children's books, and he was the author of The Da Vinci Code, Fact or Fiction. Glad to have you on the broadcast.
Co-author with you, we might add. Good to be back, Hank.
We did that one together, didn't we?
We certainly did.
And you know, that was a book that had a lot of significance because the subject never went away.
How true. And we documented absolutely all the errors that Dan Brown made. It's an incredible book, I tell you. And I've never seen a book where every time Jesus or Christ or the church is mentioned, it's a lie, either in whole or in part. I've never seen a book like that.
Well, let's talk about this DVD. I mean, it is absolutely splendid. I've watched it a number of times. And, you know, I mentioned this in the opening to the broadcast, but this is not just a week. This is the week.
Indeed. And it's the most carefully documented week also in the Gospels. I'm glad for that because Jesus didn't make a move, I think, during that week that has been touted or denied by some critic somewhere. And so I'm so glad we have such detail, especially in the Gospel of John, as you well know.
Paul, I want you to talk about what leads up to Holy Week, because for many Christians, the thought of Lent is a thought, I've heard about that, but I'm not sure exactly what that's all about and why it might be significant. Why is the build-up to Holy Week, the 40 days, so critical for Christians?
Well, because it's one of the earliest church festivals. Easter, of course, was celebrated before Christmas was. And then, of course, what caused Easter and what led up to it, the church had to prepare for it. And indeed, this was one of the earliest festivals of the early church. And so it's the Paschal season, they call it. And indeed, we have here the culmination of Jesus' ministry. What happened from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday is very critically important for the Christian faith and everyone else's eternal fate.
You have gone through some very, very difficult situations in your life overall, as all of us have, but recently you suffered a stroke, and I suppose when you suffer a stroke, you get a true valuation of things in terms of what really matters, not just for time, but for eternity. Talk about that.
How very true that is. You reminded you're mortal, after all. Yes, it was an election day, November 8th, that I had a mild stroke, and I didn't think I had a stroke at first. And my wife was going to call a doctor. I said no, and then I heard myself say no, and the way I talked with this slight slur that I'm using right now. I'm not fully over it. I hope, under God, that I can finally bid goodbye to this strange speaking ability of mine, but this is a problem right now, and I hope your hearers can be very generous and listen anyway, despite my attempts at handling the English language from a complicated vantage point.
You know, Paul, it's interesting to me. I remember this with respect to my father as well. He was a speaker, and then he got a fibrosing in the lungs that encroached on his ability to assimilate oxygen. And so the very thing that he had done all his life became very, very difficult for him. You're one of the most eloquent speakers I've ever heard. I mean, and the proof of that is in The Week That Changed the World. I mean, the job you did in that DVD is absolutely unbelievable. It's superb. It's spectacular. How difficult is it to lose the very skill that God has given you, that you have used to teach so many students and lecture around the world?
Well, it certainly is tough indeed. By the way, the DVD, however, was filmed before I had the stroke, so I talked normally on that one. And again, this is an odd coincidence. It was an election day, November 8th. I think a little joke here, it may have been my response to the options we had for presidential candidates, but I don't want to get into politics at this point. Yes, it is very difficult. Again, it's something satanic about the nature of hit the person where he's at his strongest. And I think public speaking was my gift. Again, following in many ways the work of my dad, who founded Lutheran Hour years ago, Dr. Walter A. Meyer. And then to find out that I have this slight speech handicap is very unnerving. But fortunately, people have been very generous. They claim they can understand me. I hope that goes for your hearers also.
Well, I can certainly understand you. And one of the first things that I want to drive home is the fatal torment of Jesus Christ. And your comments would be very helpful because there are many people that deny that Jesus Christ suffered fatal torment. For example, the Muslims will say that Jesus was not crucified. God made someone look like Jesus, and the lookalike was crucified in place of Jesus. How can we be certain from a historical and an archaeological perspective that Jesus did, in fact, suffer fatal torment?
Well, when you find dispassionate, non-Christian, secular sources saying the same thing as the New Testament does in terms of Jesus suffering on the cross and dying, well, then, for goodness sake, that pretty well clinches the case for me. Whenever I find people claiming that no, somebody took his place, I say, wait a minute, this sounds like it comes from the Quran. This, of course, comes 6 centuries after the fact. So I always ask, which is more reliable source of information, eyewitness testimony or something that happened 600-plus years later? And, of course, the answer is obviously you have derivative material in the case of the of Islam. And by the way, we can now trace where that material came from. Unfortunately, the Prophet Muhammad was in touch only with heretical Christianity in his formative years, and it was a Gnostic heresy in Egypt under a Gnostic teacher, Basilides his name was, who claims that somebody else took Jesus' place. And this guy remained with him instead of getting... I just put the case that if only we would have had Muhammad in touch with normal Christianity, and if only there had been a good Arabic translation of the Old and New Testament available to him, and if only Christian missionaries had dealt more directly or kindly with him in his formative years, I cannot tell you how changed the world would be today. It's just such an incredible shame that Muhammad was who he was and was not, again, an Eastern martyr for Christianity or an Eastern witness to Christianity. That's one of the great might have beens of history.
Talking to Dr. Paul Meyer, he is featured in The Week That Changed the World. It's a DVD that you absolutely need to watch. It is available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants also standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Paul, there's a lot of conjecture on what the cross looked like. I was listening to Bill O'Reilly night before last, and he said that of a certainty, the cross that Jesus was crucified on looked like a capital T. Jehovah's Witnesses say, well, it was a torture stake. A lot of different forms of the cross. Is there any historical or archaeological clues in terms of what the shape of the cross actually was that Jesus was specifically crucified on?
Well, I don't know how Bill O'Reilly can say it's of a certainty. They're certainly not certain, but it is pretty clear that the regular-looking cross, the so-called Crux and Missa, which is the typical cross we're used to, is the one, because there's a titulus over Jesus' head which says, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And this would be very appropriate in a placard placed over Jesus' head. Now, I know in the Tau cross, the T-shaped cross, they want to have this strung out along the top of the cross beam. That's very unlikely. And by the way, you find a lot of evidence of mistaken logic in some of Bill O'Reilly's material there. He claims that he was spent all 10 months researching the life of Jesus. Well, you know, others of us spend our whole lifetimes and don't come up with pat answers. So there's a lot of picking and choosing in terms of cherry-picking the evidence there in that book. No, the regular cross we're used to best answers all the problems.
And this is one of the things you've given your life to. You have given your life to actually doing the first-rate primary research. This is very, very significant when it comes to the life of Jesus Christ and most particularly when it comes to the week that changed the world.
Well, this is so terribly important. We call it Holy Week, of course. But what happened from Palm Sunday to the following Easter Sunday are momentous events in the life of Jesus, the culmination of his ministry, and really the beginning of the Christian faith as we know it. And if it had gone any differently, and if Jesus had not risen from the dead, we wouldn't be talking. You wouldn't have a program today, and nobody would be listening to me either. It would simply be a different world. But instead of that, we have the most successful single phenomenon in the history of humanity, namely the Christian church. There's never been any other movement on earth which has the loyalties of over 2.5 billion people or 3 billion people in the present generation alone. And again, this could not have developed from a vacuum. This developed from situations that are well known in history and can be verified from the use of secular materials, which is my particular specialty. I love to compare what is claimed in the New Testament Gospels and Epistles, and then see what the outside sources from the ancient world say. Do they contradict what we have in the Gospels, or do they agree? And they agree magnificently again and again and again.
Talk to Dr. Paul Meyer again, the resource of the month, The Week That Changed the World. This is one of those resources that I've watched over and over again. And every time I watch it, I learn something new. And most of all, I'm fortified in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. So often, we put Christmas at the apex of celebrations, but the week that changed the world is the real apex, because if Christ had not risen from the dead, Paul makes very plain in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, well, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. In fact, those who've fallen asleep are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men, but Christ is risen from the dead. So this is the week that we celebrate the fatal torment of Jesus Christ, the empty tomb. Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ, the post-resurrection appearances of Christ, and the transformation not just of people in the past, but our transformation as well. The week that changed the world, available. Check it out on the web for your support. We'll send it out to you. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to our wonderful resource consultants as they stand by, the number 888-7000 and the letter C. All right, right back in just a few moments with more of Dr. Paul Meyer and the week that changed the world.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is without question the most important event in human history. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to family and friends concerning the central event of Christianity, the Christian Research Institute is offering The Week That Changed the World on DVD, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Why did the authorities need Judas to identify Jesus? How could the people who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday call for his death just a few days later? Why was Pontius Pilate trying hard to avoid sending Jesus to his death? Is there evidence outside the Bible that these events actually happened? In the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer offers compelling answers to questions concerning the events of Holy Week that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. Dr. Meyer lays out the hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology. Receive your copy of The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilborn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or just visit online at equip.org. With an unmatched mastery of Scripture and history, Professor Paul Meyer discusses and defends the historicity of the events of Holy Week, which culminated in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the featured resource, Dr. Paul Meyer's The Week That Changed the World. The Week That Changed the World is a tremendous resource to prepare you and yours for yet another Holy Week. It's a riveting cinematic depiction of the Passion of the Christ, demonstrating that life and truth really do matter. Get your copy for your support on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can speak to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. One of the great privileges of my life was to co-author a book with Dr. Paul Meyer, The Da Vinci Code, Fact or Fiction. When you get the DVD, happy to give you a copy of The Da Vinci Code, Fact or Fiction. It is a small book, but poignant and profound as all of the work that Dr. Paul Meyer has done is. I got to mention this is a little bit of a detour, Dr. Meyer, but Pontius Pilate, one of the best novels I have ever read in my life. And this is historic. And you're using the power of story to communicate the life of Pontius Pilate and vicariously through that, the life and passion of the Christ.
Thank you so much for your kind comments about my work, Hank. I appreciate that. In the case of Pontius Pilate, what I was trying to do, I was so sick and tired of historical novels, so-called, in which the author barely is interested in history at all, but it rides off half-cocked in the direction of his own imagination. And so you have more story and no history. In this case, I thought a historical novel dealing with the most important trial that ever happened in the history of jurisprudence on this earth had to be taught without any of these exaggerations, but with an exact demonstration of what truly happened. And that's the reason that I devised three rules for that book, for the what I call a new literary genre called the documented historical novel. And I use these for Pontius Pilate and also the sequel, The Flames of Rome. One, every character in the book actually lived. This is not an invented character. And that is his or her name. If I don't know the name, I don't use the name. So the reader can know that every time a proper name is used in that book, it's a real person, not an invented individual. Second rule, don't ever contradict historical fact. Truth is stranger than fiction, as has in the common expression, is very true. Just tell the truth and you can have a much better story. Third, only where all of facts quit do you dare then involve fiction. But even then, tell the author where the contrived material is added so he knows that what he's reading either did happen or could well have happened. And they work well for Pontius Pilate and both Flames of Rome, I'm pleased to say. Flames of Rome is Acts 29 following in essence, and always with the truth in mind. That's paramount, because there are so many ways that we deviate from the truth today in the name of sensationalism.
By the way, the reason I mention these books is you can find Dr. Paul Meyer's books on the web at equip.org. You know, one of the questions that I wanted to broach in this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast is the extra-biblical evidence with respect to the week that changed the world. I mean, you can piece together highlights of the life of Christ totally independent of the Word of God.
This is true, and so many people don't know that. That's right. Essentially, you have in the outside evidence exactly what the New Testament says in miniature. In other words, Tacitus, for example, in his famous passage, when he talks about the great fire of Rome, how did the fire take place? Well, he talks about Nero, and whether or not he leaves the question open as to whether or not Nero is responsible for the fire of Rome. But then he talks about his throne tottering because people thought he was responsible. And so his throne is tottering, and Nero at this point indicts the Christians. Now, who are the Christians? Careful scholar that he is, he explains their name for a Christ, who was crucified by one of our governors, Pontius Pilate, by name. And the superstition was almost eliminated until suddenly it gained new vigor and flowed even as far as Rome, that common cesspool into which things flow from all over the Mediterranean. Obviously, we have a hostile source here. But when this hostile source, nevertheless, confirms what the New Testament says, that makes it doubly effective and doubly important. And again, we have here the criterion of embarrassment, it's called. It's a strange concept, but it's when you're trying to find the truth or fakeness of an ancient source, historians have various means. The two most important ones are the criterion of multiple attestation, which means if there are many different historians from the ancient world who are not copying from one another, who nevertheless say the same thing, that is pretty well a lead pipe since these things really happen. The other one is this strangely named criterion of embarrassment. I love this one. This is when you have a hostile source doing its thing, wanting to attack Christianity, and yet in the process includes something which defeats the purpose of this attack, and indeed gives Christianity the points of authenticity, then this is embarrassing to the goal of the writer of the ancient world, but nevertheless he admits it because it's true. It happened, everybody knew it at the time. And so you have in Tacitus himself a marvelous, he doesn't like the Christians, never mind. The fact that he doesn't actually strengthens the case that I'm making.
Talking to Dr. Paul Meyer about the week that changed the world. This is the quintessential week of all of human history, the week that changed the world, the DVD available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Dr. Meyer, oftentimes the point has been made that the Jewish crowds were fickle with respect to Jesus. On Palm Sunday, they loved him, they wanted to make him their king, and yet on Good Friday, they were crying, "We have no king but Caesar." Was the crowd really fickle, or is something else going on?
I'm so glad you asked that, Hank, because this is one of the great misunderstood sections, I think, of the Bible. And it's led to anti-Semitism and to much useless bloodshed and bad feeling between Christians and Jews. It is absolutely incorrect to say that the same people who cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David," on Palm Sunday, went on to yell, "Crucify him," at the end of the week. I can recall so many sermons I've heard about on Good Friday. Oh, the fickle Jews who can sing "Hosanna to the Son of David" on Palm Sunday and then only to yell, "Crucify him," on Good Friday. You know, boo hiss, everybody's ready to burn a synagogue. This is terrible. This is a wrong interpretation that the early church was partially guilty of. And I can prove that this is wrong by the most overlooked verse in the entire Bible, which is Luke 23:27. Luke carefully tells us that when Jesus is on the way to Golgotha, a great multitude of Jewish men and women were weeping. There is the Palm Sunday crowd. They never had any reason to turn against Jesus. You do a survey of Holy Week, and you have to tell me, when did Jesus suddenly lose popularity with the audience, with the crowds? He didn't. He never did. On Sunday, we have the decommercialization of the temple. We have him more popular than ever there, at least because he's breaking the awful monopoly which Annas and Caiaphas had, the Sadducean authorities that ran the temple. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, we have what I like to call the press conferences of Jesus of Nazareth, in which they pose these puzzling questions to Jesus, which are unanswerable. They defy logic. For example, the old grade school one we all heard of, could God make a rock so big he can't lift it himself? You know, they're impossible to answer. So these are the kind of questions that were tossed at Jesus, hoping he would misspeak himself. And Jesus gives beautiful responses, just beautiful. And people just shake their heads and walk away at that point. And indeed, therefore, Jesus is more popular than ever before as of Wednesday evening, I maintain. So this gives him only, what, 24 hours to blow it? Thursday, Monday, Thursday. Not going to work. Jesus doesn't go downtown that day. He spends only in the evening where he institutes the Last Supper. And therefore, where, pray tell, does Jesus lose his popularity and why? And the answer is he does not lose it. It's your Hosanna people who have not even heard that Jesus was arrested at 10. They're sleeping at this point. They went to bed at sundown in the ancient world, most of them did, and got up at dawn. And then early next morning, then they find out what's happened. They try to go to Pilate's courtyard, and that's already occupied with the people yelling crucify, who are Jews. I'll talk about that in a moment. But the point is, they can do nothing but try to intercede. They can't do anything really but weep as Jesus is dragging across the Calvary. Now let me speak out of the other side of my mouth. Yes, there were some Jews on Good Friday yelling, crucify. All four Gospels tell us that. Who might these be? Well, I would call the witness Josephus, who tells us that the largest single industry in the Holy Land was running the temple. Josephus said there were 10,000 in the temple police alone. Well, that may be an exaggeration. Nevertheless, one-tenth of that number, 1,000, would be three times as many people as they would need as a hired clack in terms of doing what the priest told him. It's a kind of a guided choir here. They're always asking, what do we say? And then they get the answer from the high priest. Say, whom shall I release to you, says Pilate, Jesus or Barabbas? And they asked the priest, and they said, ask for Barabbas to be released. Barabbas, Barabbas, they all yell. You know, you can just tell there's a speech choir going on there. And then, what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Say, let him be crucified. All together, let him be crucified. They're guided by their own leaders. In other words, if they want a job in the morning, they got to be there on Good Friday and do what the priest's bidding. That's a group of Sadducees who controlled the temple. The Sadducees of the two great political parties there, Sadducees and Pharisees, had far more influence at the temple than the Pharisees did. And Jesus certainly had much more in common with the Pharisees than the Sadducees. Sadducees didn't believe in angels or spirits or the resurrection itself. And so obviously they were Jesus' ultimate enemies. And yes, there were other Jews who did this. So please, I would beg anyone listening, never tar all people with the same brush. We have good, bad, and indifferent Gentiles. We have good, bad, or indifferent Jews. And so you're going to find about five or six different political parties and meetings on Good Friday. You're going to have some Jews who went along with the government, Roman sympathizers, they were called the Herodians. You had other Jews who hated the government and were ready to violently overthrow it. They were called the Zealots.
We're going to be back with Dr. Paul Meyer in just a moment right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
There is one very big problem for agnostics and atheists who dismiss the resurrection of Jesus as sheer scientific impossibility and mythological nonsense. The resurrection actually happened. Professor Paul Meyer's DVD, The Week That Changed the World, gives you the hard, verifiable evidence of history and archaeology on the resurrection. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or just visit online at equip.org. The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. The miraculous resurrection of Jesus did more than reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being. Yet many believers are ill-equipped to provide persuasive, credible answers to unbelievers who consider the central event of Christianity nothing more than mythological nonsense. Professor Paul Meyer's DVD, The Week That Changed the World, lays out the solid, verifiable evidence of history and archaeology that demonstrates the fact of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will return to my interview with Dr. Paul Meyer in just a moment. But first, the quote of the day, Remember, I said that from external witnesses, it is possible to piece together highlights of the life and death of Christ wholly apart from the Bible. One of those witnesses, the Jewish Josephus, who was writing as a Jew to please the Romans, he said this: "At this time there was a wise man called Jesus, and his conduct was good, and he was known to be virtuous. Many people from among the Jews and the other nations became his disciples. Pilate condemned him to be crucified and to die. But those who had become his disciples did not abandon his discipleship. They reported that he had appeared to them 3 days after his crucifixion and that he was alive. Accordingly, he was perhaps the Messiah, concerning whom the prophets have reported wonders, and the tribe of the Christians, so named after him, has not disappeared to this day." Continuing now with our interview with Dr. Paul Meyer, and I think the quote of the day, Dr. Paul, is pretty indicative of something that you said earlier, and that is, here is a quote which corroborates Holy Week, and that from someone who was not predisposed to be kind towards the philosophy of the Christians.
Exactly. Exactly. I've often said that in many ways, the greatest paradox in religion is that the greatest defender of Christianity in terms of his evidence is a Jew who never became a Christian, Josephus, because his evidence is so very, very powerful. And I'm glad you read it exactly as I have it in the latest translation in my book, because the original version of that passage was far more Christian, too Christian, in fact, even to be used, because it's got to be admitted, anytime you mention Josephus, the opponents of the faith will bring up the problem of the original statement cannot be believed. And actually, it does seem to be a case of interpolation, which means that some early Christian scribe, thinking to do God a favor, took a perfectly decent passage which you just read and glorified it and baptized it, because the original version goes something like this: "About this time there was a man, come, if indeed we ought to call him only a man. He was, the Son of God who rose from the dead." Now, this is not something a Jew could have said and stayed Jewish. He would become a Christian if he believed those things. Paul of Tarsus is an example of a Jew who converted, but Josephus did not, and therefore Christians correctly assumed that, unfortunately, this famous passage had been tampered with. But the great good news is that in 1958, Professor Shlomo Pines of the Hebrew University in Jerusalem discovered a manuscript tradition of Josephus which was not interpolated at that point. And it read word for word like what scholars predicted it would read if the original had not been interpolated. And indeed, the version that you read, I think one of my books, is exactly the correct version. And so you have a remarkable outside demonstration here of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection from the dead.
Thank you, Dr. Paul Meyer. The Week That Changed the World. Again, it's not a week, it's The Week That Changed the World. The DVD available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. One of the things you deal with head on in this DVD, Dr. Paul Meyer, is that many people question the need for Judas to identify Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. You point out some historical facts that point to the very real need for identification on the part of Judas.
Yes, I've heard critics claim that this shows that the Bible is not to be trusted because, look, everybody knew who Jesus was and they were all cheering him on Palm Sunday. They would know who he was even at night. Well, this is wrong. Put the case now. What you have to do is recreate the scene as it was in those days before you run off and shoot from the hip in terms of these ridiculous objections to the historical record. We have, of course, only artificial light at night, not even electric light. It's all fire, torches, that kind of thing. torches, because of the way they flicker, will change a person's appearance. It's been estimated about 5 times a second. And you have also the problem of where to find the group with Jesus in the number. Where are the 12 disciples plus Jesus together? And you have Jerusalem now, not just the usual sleepy city of 50,000 people, but a Mecca of 250,000, probably 5 to 10 times as many as are usually there, because of the high and holy Passover week festival, drawing Jews from all over the world, Mediterranean world, and they're all gathered in a huge tent city around the core of Jerusalem. And so where in this mess are you ever going to find Jesus and the disciples, unless you're tipped off by an insider? Okay, so the insider will tell you, go to this Garden of Gethsemane, and even there, Judas has got to say, in terms of ancient eyesight, which was, by the way, worse than modern eyesight, and for modern eyesight, we have glasses and sight correction devices, not in the ancient world. There they didn't have glasses. And in fact, it was a case of Nero being the first person to watch a sporting event with a concave glass of some kind, and it looked like the beginning of glasses, but the common people couldn't afford that. And so you have a time when ancient eyesight is worse than ever, not corrected by glasses, you're at night, you can't be sure what Jesus looked like, because all Jewish men look very much like the pictures you see of Jesus, hair part in the middle, going down on both sides of the forehead, of the head, I should say. And indeed, there's just no reason to doubt in any way that they need an insider, exactly as the scriptures say.
Dr. Paul Meyer, again, the video is absolute must-watching, The Week That Changed the World. I love the definite article, the. It is not a week, it is the week that changed the world. And I suppose the place to end this interview, Dr. Meyer, is with the word transformation. Not only were scared, scattered disciples transformed as a result of seeing the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ, but people every single day are being transformed by the week that changed the world. Perhaps there's a personal application that you can provide us. This week is personal to you. It is the week that changed your life.
Well, that's certainly the case. If it were not for the historicity of what actually took place, if Easter had not happened, I certainly would not be in the business of proclaiming the evidence that it did. But there's simply too much evidence in behalf of the resurrection to doubt it in any way. This lends an incredible new dimension to life. We are now experiencing something that begins and never ends in the future, that we all can look forward to the resurrection also, not just Jesus's, but also our own, and thank God for that.
You have been used by the Lord Jesus Christ in such a powerful way throughout your life and continue to be used in that way as a testimony to his goodness and grace, but also as one who has equipped God's people to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. And you're a hero of the faith to me, and I know to so many of your students and people all around the world. You've impacted them through your television interviews, through the excellence of your books, and again, a great example that spur us all on to excellence as we represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Well, you're very kind, Hank, but you can understand why I reciprocally admire your ministry enormously, because you are exactly sensitized to the needs of defending the faith today against all the ridiculous attacks that are being made upon it, both within and outside the church. Absolutely. So, bully for what you're doing. You're in my prayers continually. And thank you so much for the opportunity to, with my croaking, frog-like voice, to expose myself to your audience in case you didn't understand, I have not had anything to drink. It's a case of I've suffered a slight stroke on November 8th, and it has impacted my speech, which I'm trying to get over. And I hope and trust that that'll be the case.
Well, I tell you, brilliant as always, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate the opportunity to not only spend an hour with you on this broadcast, but to share that audience and that opportunity with the world.
Thank you, Hank.
God bless you, my friend. Again, Dr. Paul Meyer, The Week That Changed the World. As I've said so many times, this is a tremendous resource, a resource to prepare you and yours for yet another Holy Week. And when I say prepare, I hope you're preparing for Holy Week. I hope it's not just something that comes and goes without a whole lot of thought. That's why oftentimes on this broadcast, I emphasize the significance of Lent, the 40 days preceding Holy Week. This is not just any week. I love the title of the DVD. It's The Week That Changed the World, because if Christ had not risen from the dead, we would have no hope whatsoever. We would die. But the resurrection demonstrates that we will not die. We will live forevermore in glorified, resurrected, immortal, imperishable bodies. And with that hope, we can live with a difference that makes a difference not only for time, but also for eternity. We provide this resource, and as we do, we are praying that many people will stand with us prayerfully and financially, that you'll stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. It is a battle. It is a significant battle. In fact, it is the battle. Only one life, soon 'twill be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Well, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you don't have The Week That Changed the World, pick it up on the web, equip.org, or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. If you're not familiar with Dr. Paul Meyer's books, find them on the web at equip.org. One of the best authors you'll ever read. My two favorites I mentioned, Pontius Pilate, The Flames of Rome, and of course, many other fantastic, intriguing historical novels. He has created his own genre of novels, and those novels, again, you can find on the web at equip.org, along with other writings by Dr. Paul Meyer. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you right back here next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Why did the authorities need Judas to identify Jesus? How could the people who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday call for his death just a few days later? Why was Pontius Pilate trying hard to avoid sending Jesus to his death? Is there evidence outside the Bible that these events actually happened? In the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer offers compelling answers to questions concerning the events of Holy Week that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. Dr. Meyer lays out the hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology. Receive your copy of The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or just visit online at equip.org.